Hello out there. I'm John with my friend Johnny.
Hey.
Always here every week, Johnny, consistently for another episode of Talk About That.
We never miss, ever.
Ever, ever.
The mark of consistency.
Do you know that we have already set the record, by the way, and we're still in March at the time of this recording for the most downloads of Talk About That ever in a month?
You guys.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate all that.
We don't say it enough in this business.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
It's not a business because we don't make any money yet.
You know, the radio business is hard, Johnny.
It's tough out there.
So I hear. So you just got back from a long, long drive.
Like, it's a good trip.
You did the number of miles in car that a human should only do by plane.
Yeah, if it was a wagon train, it would take 6 months, and then one of us would have died of something.
Scarlet fever is a
I
good
had a
one.
Couple of kids, and one of us would have died. Isn't that the...
How would you have had a couple kids?
That's true. I was with Marty. That's not going to happen.
That's going to be weird.
I don't know science too well.
I don't do
we
science.
We pick up hitchhikers. I don't know. But anyway, so... Yeah, I went to Greenville, South Carolina, did a homeschool conference, and I didn't do my homeschool joke, though.
You didn't do the one about...
I chickened out. What's the difference between 800 homeschoolers and my dogs? My dogs are vaccinated. I didn't do that joke. I chickened out, but...
Do you watch Madam Secretary, by the way?
No, you've asked me this. Gina Davis?
No, it's not Gina Davis.
Oh, who's in it?
It's, oh, shoot.
She was the one who was the first lady. No, she was the first female president. What was the one with Gina Davis?
I don't know.
You don't know who's in Madam Secretary?
Yes, I do.
It's your show.
I know. I'm just going blank. My wife would be so mad at me right now. She's okay.
Person.
I could tell you what else she's in, and you could tell me. And when you say it, it's going to make me really mad.
Okay.
She was...
Tia Leone.
Jim Carrey's wife in...
It's Tia Leone.
What was that movie called?
Dick and Jane.
Fun with Dick and Jane.
Yeah.
So I can remember that weird, obscure thing.
That made me like $12.
At any rate, that had Alec Baldwin in it, by the way.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
I can remember that.
You can.
Anywho, it's just little things that go away every once in a while, Johnny. It's fine. Anywho, they did a whole episode on an outbreak of measles because of the American population not vaccinating. And so we've lost our herd vaccination.
Right. I have a lot of friends on every political stripe and every ideological stripe on Facebook, as you do too, probably. And so some of them post that stuff. And somebody posted a story about some township in New York that has now started banning people's children who have not been vaccinated from going in public because of measles. So it really is happening. Well, now, if that story's true, it could be a thing. I didn't.
My wife,
up.
The nurse, felt it was a little melodramatic because, like, she had measles when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, measles doesn't. I mean, measles is probably going to affect you greater if you already have a compromised immune system, things like that. You know.
But right.
But that being said, I don't know how. Man, we
got right into it, didn't
we? 3 minutes and 15
seconds. Well, that's the thing. The reason I do the joke is I don't feel strongly enough about anti-vax. It's just like a dumb joke.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, aha, you dumb anti-vax. Like, I don't think it's dumb. I understand people have concerns.
Sure.
It's just a funny dumb joke about homeschoolers. That's the whole. Stereotype about them is that they live in a bunker and they make their own clothes and they're paranoid about the government.
Yeah.
And truthfully, these homeschool families are really sweet and nice, and I've had a great time with them.
Well, you know, we had quite the homeschool population in our youth ministry back when you were and I were working here diligently together for the next generation. And it actually worked out when Laura had Sadie, because she works from home. You know, we had three different homeschool nannies come through.
The homeschool nanny.
And it was that's a show.
It is a show.
What are we doing with our lives? We could be writing it right now.
Man.
But it was amazing. It was amazing, and they were great, and they're still to this day. In fact...
And they still haven't graduated because they took time off.
And by the way,
all
three of the homeschool nannies are all pregnant right now with their own babies.
Man.
Isn't that...
Full circle.
How about that?
It's the circle of life.
And they all are naming their baby Sadie. That's what's weird.
Not gonna work.
And one of them's gonna have a boy. I don't know. Told him something. No, and it's
didn't
great.
George Foreman name all of his children George?
He did. Didn't he? Like a junior, a second, and a third, and a
George the fifth, George the fourth. Wasn't there a Georgina in there? There's a Georgina.
Oh wow.
He had a daughter.
That's just cruel.
A sixth child, Georgina.
Oh my gosh. Would you change your name? Well, should it be Georgiana?
I read somewhere that they came to Hulk Hogan and approached him about the grill originally, and he turned it down.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need to look it up.
Okay. First of all, you're telling me someone approached George Foreman and he didn't invent it himself for real?
I used to do a joke about the George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
Because I would say it's the lean, mean, fat reducing grilling machine. I said, but George Foreman is not thin, y'all. He's like, it drains the fat right off. And you're like, into your mouth? Are you turning up the grease tray like a Jello shot? Anyway, I don't do that anymore because nobody has the George Foreman. Do you have the George Foreman grill? Do you still use it?
No, I don't have that. But Michael Scott grilled his foot with it. And that's still right. Makes me
now it's
that
the
keeps
air,
it alive.
Now it's an air fryer. Everybody's got the air fryer and the Instant Pot.
You know, I'd make a habit of every week trying to remember old jokes of yours. One of them that I thought of the other day that you should include again, it wasn't really a joke. It was a visual. Back when you were doing a lot of visuals, you and Jeffrey in the beginning.
Yeah.
My favorite visual I think you ever did that was just so funny was anger armor.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
It didn't land.
So for the listener, instead of Under Armour, they literally made like an Under Armour logo. It's like those two U's on top of each other, and they like you turn it around, so it's an A. And they had
the
Hulk.
Superimposed spandex like workout wear over the Hulk.
Oh, the Incredible Hulk!
The idea being David Banner ruins all his clothes.
So he needs anger armor.
So he needs anger armor so he could would stretch with him. And then I would do like a Hulk impression and be like, Hulk not want to smash now. Hulk feel cool and dry. And then like 30 people would laugh and 100 people would look at me like I was from another planet. I moved on.
You know what? I wonder though. This is a great social experiment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes we try to get you to use one of my jokes to see if people already perceive you to be funny, so they're more willing to laugh at a joke that's less funny.
Yeah.
And you're unwilling to do it because you have no courage. But now you have a joke in your own past that you think is not that funny. Yeah. I think now that you're an established, known comedian, you should drop it right in the middle and see what kind of laugh it gets now. If your own confidence, the crowd's ability
to... Well, confidence is part of it. It's one of the reasons you should never do a brand new joke up front.
Right.
And it's not just because that joke might not land and then put you in a hole for the rest of the show that you have to climb out of. It's because you're not confident with it yet like you are the rest of your material.
Yep.
So even if it is going to be good, it's probably not going to land right.
Yeah.
And having said that, I do new jokes out up front all the time. You still think, well, this time will be different. Every now and again, one will land and you'll be like, I am a golden god. I am Superman.
Invincible.
That's right, and then it'll happen again. The one I've been doing now as like an opener, if I'm in a really small town, which is a lot of what I do.
Yeah,
I'll say I was just in Kokomo, Indiana, which is a really small town, and I said, "Hey, Kokomo, Indiana, it's so great to be here." I said, "My agent called me and said, where are you?" I said, "Kokomo," and he said, "What's it like?" I said, "Have you ever? You remember the town that outlawed dancing in Footloose?" And then I just let it kind of sink in with the crowd, and then I go, yeah, "They nailed it. That's where I am." And so that's kind of what I do now. Usually, if you're in a small town, they know that they're in a small town.
Right.
That it's kind of a nowhere town. Sometimes I'll say I've been here 4 hours, and I was here 10 minutes before I'd done everything there was to do.
Yeah.
In Fort Wayne or whatever, and they'll be like, "Oh, you're right. Fort Wayne's the worst," or whatever.
We're so.
But every now and again, you'll get a small town. They'll be like, "Hold on, how dare you, Ottawa, Tennessee?"
To all of
did
our
you look? Did you go to our museum?
For all of our Ottawaians out there.
We got the largest wagon wheel.
Ottawalites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. There is a confidence. So if I delivered a joke more confidently now, which I am a more confident comedian for sure because I've done it longer, but some jokes just die because I tried. Some jokes are your favorite thing. And sometimes you just have to like, it's like your favorite dog, but you know, it's like, it's not working anymore. And you got to put the dog down. That's a terrible analogy.
It got dark real fast.
Nate, my buddy Nate Bergazzi, so his special came out yesterday, which go watch it on Netflix. It's amazing. But he talks about his dog. First of all, he says we had to put our dog down. We've had 14 years. And he goes, he wasn't sick. I just have been real busy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But then he talks about we got him from the vet anyway. That's how we got him. And it's because people do put dogs down for no reason. They just take him to the vet and go, I can't do this anymore. And then the dogs end up getting killed. And so that's how one of his relatives was a vet and said, or a vet tech and said, come get this dog. They would take it back to put it down and then she would sneak it out to somebody. Huh. And then Nate tells the crowd, and right now you're realizing a lot of your dogs you think you put down are still out there. And I just love the idea of that, of people like going, wait a minute. You know? We were that family. But it is weird.
Well, I want you to try anger armor.
I'll work on it.
I want
John.
You to report back.
Okay.
Just give it a. It's your own joke. Why are you rolling your eyes at your own joke?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I may or may not have said something on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
To the point of things that you said
into the microphone
that you're not proud of. here's the deal. So I'm speaking on. Okay. So Sunday. You know, it's the first day of the week, Johnny. I don't know why we act like it's the last.
Bring your first fruits.
Yes. So I'm speaking, and I used a passage from Timothy about give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. We talk about sacred acts a lot right now. So it's like, one of the things, the technique I'm going to use today to deliver the message, we're in the book of John. We kind of stay, we do topical series, and then we come in and out of John. We've been in it since last year. Not trying to be in a hurry, just taking our time, go through it, and just let God's word speak to us. So I'm doing John 11, which is Lazarus, okay?
Yeah.
And Lazarus it's a great story. It's like, but here's the deal. I'm going to read to you the entire chapter today by the end of it of John chapter 11. So I go through John 11. It's all going well. Everything's going great. And I'm talking about Mary and Martha coming out to talk to Jesus. And so what I said was, and so they come out, and I said, they have this. I can't do it.
Yeah, tell me what you said.
It's like, they had this intercourse, is what I said. And I said, and as soon as I said it, I knew I said it, and I said, through dialogue. Now, here's the deal. For everyone out there listening, a lot of you are probably here. Now, a couple things. So we had a long, extended conversation about this in staff meeting yesterday.
Intercourse is dialogue. It means a conversation.
It actually was a correct term.
Right.
It was in my queue as a right word. Now, probably what I was doing was trying to get somewhere between discourse and interaction. You know what I'm saying?
Discourse would have been better.
Discourse would have worked better in the modern culture. But go look up, not the images, just the definition of the word.
Don't do a Google image search.
For intercourse, the first two definitions will be to just have communication. In fact, if C.S. Lewis would have been speaking in our church, he was not.
He would have said intercourse.
He would have said intercourse. It wouldn't have been a funny thing. It's only like probably mid to late 20th century that like almost exclusively.
He also probably would have had like a fifth of gin with him.
He also would have had a best-selling book. Anyway, there's all kinds of differences between me and C.S. Lewis. But so in my mind, so here's the thing you'll appreciate. Like, there's all these, because actually, things were going really well.
Yeah.
They're with me. I'm expounding God's word.
Not anymore, you're not.
So first thing I see is my wife out of my periphery to my left.
Oh, no, and she's laughing.
Oh, she's got the giggles. Without being openly giggly.
The church giggles are the hardest thing to stifle ever.
It's so.
The only thing worse than church giggles is like a funeral giggle. Like if you're just a friend of a friend of a friend and you're there and then something strikes you, you're reading the thing and you're like, oh boy, there's a typo here or whatever happens.
Yeah.
Somebody gets up to give a speech and they flub something.
Yeah.
But the church giggles is unreal. It's like a drug. It's like being a kid, you know you're not supposed to laugh.
Well, but you know what she did though? She went to her phone.
Yeah.
Like I see her and then I see Linnea, I'm calling you out, Linnea. From our
then she looks like
group,
she's laughing at something on her phone.
Who's across? They're across the way.
Oh, she's texting,
and I'm seeing them text each other.
Oh, right.
And both of them like kind of doing the little shake, you know.
Yeah.
And I could hear a little. You can feel the room.
Right.
The room knows, and so in that split second, as I'm still delivering content.
Yeah.
Because here's the hard part.
Yeah.
Like it was an okay word.
It was an okay word, and that's the thing. That goes back to our conversation about how we have less words in our vocabulary, and this time it hurt you.
It did.
Because intercourse would have been a normal, because that's why you add sexual to it, because sexual intercourse is different than conversational intercourse.
Exactly.
And when you said discourse, I was like, is there a sexual discourse? No, I don't think that's not a thing.
I mean, so many things I can't say.
That's true. Well, so you were right, but you were not culturally right.
Well, Andrew really argued my side yesterday to the staff. He was like, guys, because he looked it up. He was like, guys, it was a perfect word.
Yeah.
John just has a bigger vocabulary, and he was using the perfect word, I think, you know. And so, of course, it's just been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. But here's the question. Do you stop and address it in the moment?
I think if people laugh, you have to.
I didn't.
You just moved on.
I'm going to tell you why.
You powered through.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
I knew myself well enough.
Yeah.
That for me to do something funny there.
Yeah.
The context of this is Jesus having a conversation with Martha.
Yeah.
Something more inappropriate was going to come out.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that Jesus and Martha had, like,
right,
at that point,
dig a bigger hole.
I've already now made a mental image and taken myself to, so it was like, you know what, guys? Hopefully, they went and looked it up and realized, a couple of them did tell me, well, if you used it, we figured it must be.
Every preacher's got those moments, though. Like, there was my favorite one, I used to hang out with an evangelist, and he said that he was talking about the feeding of the 5,000, and he said, I mean, he spoke with a commanding voice, too, so he was, like, bearing down on it when he said it. He said, and the people were so full, they gathered 12 baskets of craps. And when he said that, he didn't realize he hadn't said scraps and tried to move past it, and people just lost it because it was like, yeah, I guess they were full then, you know. And one time he said he was at a thing and he said, if you're unhappy, it's not God's fault. But he said, it's not God's fart. Yeah. And he said, he looked down, there's a lady, just her shoulders are shaking and she's trying, and then she is, and then it's over, the whole front row. And then it goes like a wave to the back, you know, it's like a.
I didn't want to be that, listen, and I love laughing at myself and making, self-deprecating is fine.
But you're right, you would, the bailout would have been worse.
Losing them.
Yeah.
There would have been, and I do hate that.
Yeah.
Going too far into that would have been that's all from that entire message that we ever remember, which you can't help that. People get to remember what they want.
But if they listen to the podcast now, it will be all because they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's all.
Well, you should go back to GroveChurchMJ.com. Mm-hmm. You can watch from what? That would have been what was the date Sunday?
Oh, my 24th. Gosh.
March 24th.
March 24th.
A day that shall live in infamy.
In infamy.
And so I just, anyway. I knew we needed to talk about it because that was the question. Do I address it?
Yeah.
In my mind, it makes it worse. It would have been just a slip of the tongue and I said fart, sure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's something you stop it. What did I say one time? You always tell that story with an offering or something where I took it somewhere that sounded like farting.
No, I don't. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you used to tell the story because you had it.
Oh, John.
You're like.
You don't make a lot of mistakes.
No, I do.
You're pretty measured as a person.
Andrew was like, it was so funny. They were trying to get into the psychology of it. Like, so in your mind, were you thinking?
Were you thinking discourse or interaction?
Use this word. And I was like, I really don't know. I do know that generally,
yeah.
I'll have a list of words that I'm subconsciously thinking are appropriate for this.
Right.
You know, like, because it wasn't in my notes or something.
I've got like when somebody will say something and I'm having a conversation, yeah, I have like a cue of like, funny things to say, and I'll have to like. Sometimes you just got to clear the whole queue.
Yeah,
you know, you just clear all.
Yeah,
none of these are going to be. No one will like me if I say any of these.
The worst is when I'm in a meeting and I need to make a good impression. I'm not really known.
Yeah,
very well, you know. And I'm usually if I'm in a meeting as the writer, like I'm kind of just the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just shut up and hope you get an opportunity to help with the project. You know, everybody's doing their thing. You know, you're there for technical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when something really funny comes up that I want to, like, drop this stupid, you know, stupid humor kind of thing. And you just know you just can't. Occasionally, I'll do it anyway.
Well, in a way, that's kind of what I do when I do a show. If I'm at a church or because I do so many different kinds of events. Companies will bring you in, and they have different rules than a church would have because they have an HR person. So you might have a joke that kills in a church that has some, cultural connotation or pop culture thing or even like a – I know some comics who are church comics who have a race element to their material.
Yeah.
Like, well, black churches do this, white churches do this. An HR guy to corporate would be scared to death for you to lump because he's going to get the emails and look bad. Even if it lands, he would rather you bomb than he get 5 emails.
Right.
And so you have to kind of know that. So it's almost like every show is like an audition a little bit. So you have to kind of go, okay, who am I with? Not that I censor myself, but I want everything to land right. So there's definitely certain things where you go, okay, well, this will work here. This won't work here. Okay.
My editor sometimes on my endorsement book, she would say, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying. It's just cringy.
Yeah.
That's what she would always say, cringy. Like if I made one too many bathroom jokes, you know, kind of thing.
Right, right.
You know, you went one step too far. Like middle school youth pastor joke kind of thing, you know. And I try to listen to that. Like, well, I don't want it to be cringy. You know?
Yeah, I've got those. I get that all the time. Like when I do a set with Tim Hawkins, I'll be like, I have 15 minutes or 20 minutes on stage. So they'll be like, well, you did this joke. You didn't do this joke and this joke. And I go, yeah, because it's only 20 minutes. If I do all those jokes that are all alike, that's all they're going to remember. They're going to remember me as the guy who did that kind of joke. So you have to I have to show them variety and I have to give them like a 7-course meal in that. But if I had an hour, yeah, I would just space them out.
Right.
And so you have to make those decisions. But yeah, you're right. If I'm in a situation like that, it's been so long since I've been in a job interview or something like that, that's a real deal. But I never did the right thing. I always either was way too quiet or I would say something weird that would put somebody off. Yeah. I was always very awkward, very socially awkward.
Yeah, I had a article request. The publicist that we're working with on the endorsement asked me to write an article for it's a man blog kind of thing. It's DIY kind of stuff, but they wanted me to kind of do something funny that also may have some actual helpful, takeaways. And I wrote it, and I was sensitive. I was like, I don't like the whole I'm an idiot, or because in the article, it was like I got in trouble. It was about not dropping crumbs on the couch. The three ways to not drop. Three foods?
Yeah.
It's pizza rolls, marshmallows, and grapes. And each one, you have this just ridiculous detail to how to eat on the couch, because you're going to get in trouble, which indicates like this gender role thing. As if I'm the child, she's the adult.
Right.
She's always on me, and I wrote to her. I said, look, I've wrote this because that's what the sites for men kind of thing. And that's the gag. But I really struggle.
Yeah.
To your point, knowing who I am, it's not a big deal. It's I'm not making a definitive statement. Surely you realize it's a satire and it's not but in Tim, when Tim and I wrote, some of the jokes he has are like that, very much, what do you always say? My wife is
smarter than me.
Like a catcher in T-ball. He'd say that a lot, kind of thing. And some of it was honoring his wife that she's doing a lot of work and other things. But there's that. My wife and I always talk about it. I never want to be that guy. For example, I heard someone say today, with his own children, I heard someone say that their friend was babysitting.
Oh, right.
And it's like, okay, I don't babysit my kid. Indicates
you parent your child.
Right. She's mine. Yeah. I'm her father. She's with me all the time is how it should be.
I'm on dad duty. You mean just being a dad?
You mean you're alive? Right.
Yeah.
And so and I know those seem like real nitpicky things, but I do think about, even when we talk about marriage and stuff, that I'm not afraid of stereotypes in terms of when they're silly. And we all know they're silly. But I do think that sometimes that silliness causes people to begin to think a certain way. Anytime she's the old lady, I don't ever get to go bowling. If you kind of fall into that, 50s, I'm on the couch kind of mindset. I work hard all day and she's always on me to take out the trash.
I just realized we've never been bowling together.
That can't be true.
What's up with your wife?
What do you mean?
We should have a league, a league night.
We've been bowling before.
But not with our own.
How do I feel like watching you bowl would be an awkward experience?
We need monogrammed shirts with a cool name on the back, whatever.
Come on, give me one.
All I can think of is the ones from
Kingpin?
Modern Family. Cam is in league. It's the Britney Spears. And they're all yeah.
I actually love bowling.
I don't think bowling too.
I used to go bowling a lot as a teenager.
You take a break. You're like, all right, let me take a break. Let me get a drink.
Oh, yeah. You could eat the whole time. Here, have these nachos. And it's a sport.
Hold a chicken leg while you bowl.
Try eating nachos while you play basketball, bro.
Can't do it.
Tried it. Didn't work.
You tried it. You did try it. That was a mistake.
Hold a nacho break. Do you know, I shot a ball last night. I shot around a little bit. There was a ball in my kid's gym when she was practicing.
How'd it go?
Actually hit quite a few shots. I was surprised it was still there. Johnny.
All the magic, bro.
And it's all still there. Now, if I had to run, fast.
Yeah, the wind sprints back.
But I know you want racquetball. That's what you want us to do. And we're going to do it. Are you really going to blame me? You're the one out of town every week.
I'm leaving again tomorrow.
All the time. And you keep blaming me.
It's a busy month. Yeah. Tomorrow. So I'm leaving tomorrow because Friday I have two shows in one day in two separate towns.
One state, though, right?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Where are the towns?
Merrillville, Illinois, uh-huh. and St. Charles, Missouri.
Surely it's Maryville.
Maryville?
You called it Maryville.
Maryville, because
that's
I'm from Maryville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Maryville, Illinois. No.
Yeah, Maryville, Illinois.
And?
And St. Charles, Missouri. Wow. So they're,
it's that doesn't, doesn't feel like it's close.
It's 25 miles.
That's close.
but yeah, so now the everything was like, okay, well, we can barely do this. We can do it. And now the show times are getting like closer together. One guy that wants has me, the first one has been going on a little bit later. The second one has been going on a little bit earlier.
Do they know, though, that you're doing two
shows?
They
know of each other, and I've tried to reach out and say, hey, we're, this is going to be really tight. So I have a friend going with me. My buddy Aaron, and so I said, dude, we're just going to have to, like, grab the
guitar. Can you not sound check in both places?
Well, that's why we're getting there a day early. We're going to sound check and leave a guitar.
Well, then you know.
At the second one, and then go take a second guitar to the...
So that should feel great.
Which I need to borrow your guitar, by the way. Can I borrow your guitar?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Can I borrow it? Do you need it this weekend?
I think I need it this weekend. For you're not back by Sunday?
No.
Dane uses it right now on Sundays quite a bit.
What about the Blue Ridge? He doesn't use the Blue Ridge?
Well, I mean, I can just ask him to use the Blue Ridge. Do you think that the whole audience wants to hear all this right now? I think they do.
They want to see the dynamic of our friendship.
This is what it's like to really...
Are you a giving person?
Oh, I happily loan you the guitar. That's fine.
But you need it. What kind of a dude needs two guitars for one day? But
you, this is a special, apparently this is a stars.
It's a special circumstance.
What do you...
Because like that, it saves me like another 5 minutes of... You know, set up and running.
Well, and it
on.
Makes everything feel right, yeah, right. for them. Yeah. Like, if you happen to just roll right in, then all you do is step
Well, yeah, because if the guitar's there, they're like, well, he's got to come back for this.
Yeah, just leave it. It's John's. It'll be fine.
Anyway, that's probably the dumbest thing I've ever said yes to. So if it doesn't go well, like, this will air Monday and we'll know, if it went well. And I'm betting it will, but. It's also, I'll probably, my mom used to say there's people that get ulcers and people that give ulcers, and I'm the first kind. And this will be an ulcer weekend of, and I guess I'll give ulcers too, in a way though. She's probably wrong because I guess I'm giving ulcers to the other people.
Yeah.
Because I'm like the guy that walks in right before I go on.
Are you the main guy?
Yeah.
Or are you like a part of the event?
The first one's a fundraiser, so I guess they'll do other things. It's a Christian.
So the one
fundraiser.
You're getting to, you're the main guy. The one you could be late to.
Yeah.
You are the reason they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's a homeschool conference, too.
Oh.
But I've already done two events for them, and they went really well. So I think I've got a little bit of equity
okay.
with them.
So. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even be talking about this, because it sounds like I'm being flipped to, like, my clients. But, I mean, I really do care about these people. It's just that this opportunity came up, and I thought, well, I can make this all work. Theirs is at 6, yours is at 8.
Let's call the whole thing off. I don't know. I was looking for
But now it's like, it looks like
Do you
like
want me to go
closer.
Sub at one of them for you?
You know what, dude? You probably Bro, could.
Hatchback and Notre Dame and Anger Armor.
That's your, those are your closers.
And good night.
Guys, what is the deal? Yeah.
I'm not, listen, I know I'm not a comedian. It's okay. I made peace with it.
You're a funny guy.
I'm a pros. Listen, I'm not even sure that's true. I have just enough humor in life to enjoy myself.
You make your wife laugh?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, my wife will laugh. That's not every time.
Right.
But neither does yours.
No.
Yeah. But yours, let's be honest. It's overstimulation at this point. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. I made my wife laugh the other night. It was pretty intoxicating. So it's pretty great to make your wife laugh. It still like does something for me. It's very good.
Yeah.
So we're watching this show called Billions, which is about, it's on Showtime, and it's about a hedge fund manager who's like bending all the rules to make money, and then the other guy's like the hero, but really he's not a hero. There's no heroes anymore in shows.
No.
You know that they all are broken and flawed, like Breaking Bad. Yeah. There's no, it's all anti-heroes. But he's the district attorney of New York City, and he's trying to prosecute this guy.
Yeah,
and so it's like their whole battle back and forth, and what they're willing to do to you know what he's willing to do to get away versus what the district. So it's crazy. So the show's called Billions. And this guy's a billionaire, a hedge fund manager. So Curry goes, we're just watching the show, and it's like the second or third episode. And in the episode, the guy wants to get his name on a building like that's been the same name on it for 100 years in New York City.
Okay.
He wants his name on it. And so he's going to the charity fund to try to figure out what's it going to take to supplant this guy's name. And the guy's long dead, but the family still benefits from it. So he offers them $100 million for the naming rights.
Wow.
And so Curry goes, God, $100 million. How much money does this guy have? And I just looked over. I go, sweetie, this show's called Billions. And then she lost her. She laughed so hard. It was just so funny.
The answer is literally in the title.
It's in the show. Are you watching the show?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
But yeah, $100 million is still a lot of money, though.
Well, to some people.
It's right
there. I still think that's funny, the whole when the lottery went all the way up to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know what?
Now I'll do it.
You know,
my brother does that. My brother does that.
$27 million. What was the 100%. Point?
I was having this conversation with my brother because he's like, "What's the point?" I go, "Do you play the lottery?" Because the old commercial came on. He goes, "No, not now. It's only like $27 million." I go, "Dude, do you understand what you're saying?" That ain't even a blip on the radar.
After taxes, you probably have $18 million. It's like
that don't move the needle. Come on.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well,
he did a silent auction. This is about the lottery. He did a silent auction for Agape, the group home he runs, which you can go to agapeoutreachhomes.org and learn more about that. That's a program my family founded.
Yeah, it's amazing.
For mentally handicapped folks. So, and that's in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my brother runs that program. So he had a big fundraiser. So they did a silent auction. He said one of the crazy, surprising things that got the most bids, it was going off the page. They had to get a second page for people to bid on it.
Wow.
Was a jar of lottery tickets.
Wow.
And he's not sure it's legal to even do it. He was just like, I don't know if we're allowed to sell lottery tickets. But somebody just brought it and said, what if you did this? And it was just a huge jar with like a stack of lottery tickets in it. And
isn't that crazy? People, it's like the mystery box.
Yeah, and like it fetched over $100. And then he had the guy report back, well, did any of them win? You know, wouldn't that be amazing? And I think the guy said he won 43. And the man was like, did you win 43 more than the 100? Or did you still lose $67 or $57? I don't know math.
Right. You don't really.
Anyway, don't play the lottery. It's dumb. You're not going to win. But if you're going to play, don't make it only based on, well, now it's at $1.5 billion. I got to do it. That's real money.
Yeah. But didn't you buy one?
No. A lottery ticket?
Yeah.
No, I've never bought a lottery ticket.
Never got one when I got.
Have you bought one?
Oh, I definitely bought one of that last one.
So
it was kind of just for fun. And I realized how stupid it is.
What's the scriptural stance on that?
There is no scriptural stance.
On lottery?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can let that statement lie.
Like gambling?
You like, think? Like, I would love for someone to tell me where the scriptural statement is on lottery. Like, we act like there is.
Yeah.
There's not.
But I think what if it's like a controlling issue and you're spending your kids' lunch money?
There's where it goes.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I had this conversation yesterday with somebody about, I think there's multiple things and that are so key to look at. We love to make laws, good and bad,
yeah,
out of things, substances, practices. And there are things like murder, scripturally, not good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm really glad you're coming out against murder.
Yeah. I'm solidly in the anti-murder camp.
It's been unclear until now. I need to appreciate your vote this November.
But there are a lot of things that scripturally are not stated, but scripture does give you two things. It gives you warnings and it gives you wisdom.
Right.
Now, I did not do that alliteration on purpose.
Man, you're good.
They just both.
It just flows out of you.
It just happened to be there.
Man.
Scripture gives you warnings and scripture gives you wisdom.
Yeah.
And so one of those things is money.
Yeah.
Money is a great one. Everyone always loves to say that money is the root of all evil. Johnny, is that accurate?
No. It's the love of money.
The love of money, which is a heart thing. Money is a thing. It's just it's paper or coin or
it's inert.
Bitcoin or whatever. Like it's inanimate. And so what we do with money, Scripture gives you warnings, and Scripture gives you wisdom. And
right.
So how and it can it lead to idolatry in your life? Because the Bible does say in Colossians, I believe, that greed is idolatry.
Yeah.
So I'm living greedy, then I'm worshiping something or put my security in something other than God. And I'm struggling then with, again, now let's reclaim the word sin. Well, I mean, sin absolutely is something that I'm breaking. We're all in sin. We've all commit sin. I'm breaking this intention of God's best for my life. And so, like, I had a kid. I spoke at middle school, by the way, in high school chapel at my kid's school the other day.
Oh, and boy.
I kind of shared the grace of Jesus. And these two middle schoolers come to me. And they were kind of, like, fidgeting. Like, they were really, really kind of nervous. And they said, we heard him in, you know, Bible class or VBS or something in their life, you know.
Yeah.
and this is the words the kid used to me, that lying is an abomination to God.
Wow.
So I have a seventh grader or something telling me that lying is an abomination to God.
Abomination.
And I looked at him and I said, well, it is. I said, man, and it's worth a big, big punishment. I said, but here's the deal. God loves you so much that he made sure that Jesus got that punishment so you don't have to. That's really what Jesus came to do, is to take your place. So, yes. So lying no longer. I talked to him about the forgiveness of Christ covering sin before you were ever born. You know, and then by faith you enter into the thing he's already provided for those who will, everyone who will call on the name of the Lord, and that you're supposed to be secure. So does God want you to lie? Well, no. Does lying separate you from God? No, because he already paid the price for that separation. And in Christ then, because you're free, your heart can actually change to the point that you don't want to lie because you're in a relationship with Jesus. That's the transformation of Christ in your life because you're not condemned.
And the seventh grader's head exploded.
Well, he really did look at me like, are you serious? Like, yeah. I said it in a little more seventh grade words, but it was a real like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of the whole thing is that sin does separate you from God, so Jesus cleared the separation out of the way.
Right.
Like, so back to the things, money and idolatry and the sin and all those things in our life covered by Christ, but it's a thing that Scripture gives you wisdom and warning about.
Yeah.
And if it controls you, and so back to lottery.
So is there between moderation and something that's controlling?
And I think moderation's like a good wisdom word.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I think that the scriptural heart value of things goes down to it. Like, look, I know when in my heart I'm leaning into insecurity because of financial things. I know that. Like, I know what I look up and I'm striving because I'm worried and I'm checking my phone and I kind of get into that manic state where something didn't go according to my plan. And so I'm waiting on something to go to a good plan. And so I can sense it. And in a moment there, I have to be a steward of those things. That's okay. You know, but that's that daily gospel return to say, hey, I remind myself, Lord, you know, that you're my source of security. There's no amount of money that's going to enter my account or leave my account today that's going to make me more secure in Christ than I already am right now. It's not going to change my eternity. It's not going to change whether or not you care for me or whether you provide for me. It's not.
Yeah.
If I screw it all up, your grace is going to be with me. You're going to walk me through it and take me with it. And Sadie and I talked about this yesterday. We went to help out somebody who was in need. And we talked about the fact that it really causes you to believe if this is mine or not. So I told her, I was like, hey, Sadie, if I gave you $1,000 of daddy's money, I was like, that's a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, what would you do with it? Of course, you know, she's so funny. She's like, I'd give it to Jesus. You know, like, it's like the Christian. I was like, okay. Daddy, if I gave you $1,000, I'd be okay with you taking care of yourself, buying food, some clothes.
Because daddy's done with you. He's not going to take care of you.
This is it. I'll see you. I would expect you to be able to use that, enjoy it, do some things.
Yeah.
But I would expect you, when you see a situation that you know daddy would act in, to use daddy's money accordingly. Like that you would go do with daddy's money what you think daddy would do with it. And so that's how money is with God. It's how we're supposed to think of it. If it's in my pocket, like, what do I think God would do right now? Because it's actually his and I'm stewarding it. And he's okay with me enjoying it and okay with me being, you know, fed by it and cared for. But if you really had, if you're the son of a billionaire and you know the billionaire's business and there's an opportunity for you to be a part of that business, then you are expected to steward that money as the billionaire would. And so there's that. In fact, I have that thing I tell my wife, like, I would love it if you look at my giving statements. I may not be a rich guy, but I would love it if someone could ever say, man, he gives like a rich guy.
Yeah.
Like, if they were going to reverse engineer, they're going to assume something about me, because the bottom line is the money in my hand is a rich guy's money. So I can give it and I'm not giving a prosperity gospel.
Hey, now, come on.
That's why we're looking for that $1,000 sponsor today. The silver bracket.
Stretch your hands towards your iPhone.
But I think lottery is a heart issue. We thought it was kind of a fun novelty thing. We bought a ticket.
Right. Well, then there's the whole political thing of, like, is it a tax on the poor in essence?
Oh, and because, absolutely. Yeah.
That's the whole other argument against it.
But that goes into everything, though, where we say, you know, hello, you know what else is a tax on the poor? And we're not going to like this, but fast food.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You know, we talked about how much it costs for people to eat healthfully.
Double cheeseburgers, 99 cents. A salad, $6.
Correct. Yeah. What are you doing now to the American public who is poor? Is much easier. They're not learning about nutritional things and then also having heart disease and dying and having diabetes and all kinds of other things, which is compounding all of the healthcare costs, the issues in the end of care giving and all the things we're doing here. So the point is, do we get rid of fast food? Well, at the end of the day, we should teach people how to eat better. Like, it all almost always comes down to warnings and wisdom, how you use it, unless it's a thing that God has proclaimed.
You need like a third W.
All right, let's do it.
Warnings, wisdom, and...
Wacky. Whack-a-mole. I usually just start there. I just start saying ridiculous things.
That's fine.
You're trying to alliterate.
See what sticks.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think the lottery in and of itself, do I think it's the best use of your money for investment? No, I think that could be unwise. I do say this too. I think it's really, really key. Yeah. If you can't control your eating, and you can't control your spending, or you can't control your drinking, like, those things are usually going to all go together.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Well, yeah, and you know, if you have addictive personality.
There you go.
And that's the thing, is knowing about yourself, knowing what, this might be an okay situation for my friends. It's not a good situation for me.
Yeah, I had a friend who leads a recovery ministry in Dallas, and we were talking about alcohol, and he was an alcoholic for 12 years.
Yeah.
And he said, man, he goes, I don't have a problem at all with you or any one of my friends. They can have a drink all they want to. I lost the right to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that. That's just now something in my life, but I know that's not necessarily for everyone. It'd be wise for a lot of people who are struggling with that.
Yeah.
But he had that clarity of, and I think that's one thing we do in American culture a lot, in the religious culture, is we take whatever our experiences are and we superimpose them
project
on everybody else.
Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not everybody, let's be clear. I don't want to go everybody go out and spend all your money in
the lottery. Every day. John's got a stack of tickets you would not believe.
I do. I want them at this auction.
He's doing scratchers right now.
Right now. I mean, the bottom line is, I do think that it's more dangerous for us to add to God's word things that are not in there. I mean, Scripture leads us, it tells us not to do that. So when something becomes like as important to us as God's word, that's actually not in God's word, you know, whether that's nationalism, or whether that's a way that we look at another race, or whether that's a political viewpoint, like kinds of things, you have to be a little, this is when we always, are you a literal fundamentalist Christian? You know, it's like, well, let's be literal on this, that I'm not going to allow things that aren't scriptural, explicitly stated in scripture, to be explicitly enforced in my life. I might have other principles that aren't in scripture that I choose to live by because they're just wisdom. I'm not going to explicitly make what would appear to be the equivalent of a spiritual law out of something that God does not make a spiritual law out of, because it does, especially generations down the road. It creates something worse.
Yeah.
It creates another problem. There's a reason God didn't prohibit it or say it or proclaim it.
Well, that's the old joke, too, is like the preacher preaches against gambling and all that stuff until somebody in his church wins, and they're like, you better tithe.
Yeah. You know? Right. Right.
Then you're like, you want to throw a scriptural principle on top of their winnings.
Oh, it's crazy. And listen, it ain't a joke.
No,
it's absolutely what would happen.
Yeah.
Well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So we find a scripture all of a sudden to justify it. Yeah. Gosh, that's so funny.
Man.
That's so funny. Well, so I'm heading to Dallas next week. So you're heading on your fancy trip, and I got one.
I'm going to St. Charles, Missouri, and Maryville, Illinois.
I feel like my place is better.
And then Macon, Missouri.
Ooh.
And that one's a game feed. You know what those are?
Mm.
The wild game suppers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been to those with you before.
You're eating like strange meats.
Oh, yeah.
They're all laid out.
Me and you went to that one in, it was in Ohio or Indiana, right across the border.
That was another first line I tried that didn't land. We went to this game feed. Jeffrey was with me on that one. And so they had deer head and cow skulls and elk head all over the top. They had mounted them over the top of these dishes of meats. And what a weird thing. They had all them all labeled, too. They had like quail. And they had possum. I swear to you, they had possum at this one. And it was in Dyersburg, Tennessee. So I get up and I go, guys, it's cool that you're doing this and all the different kind of exotic meats. But do you got to make the animals watch? And it went over like a lead balloon.
I mean, I don't understand. I would laugh regardless.
I know. They didn't, bud. It was like a gymnatorium kind of thing. And it was just the weird kettle lights that never quite, you know, they're all buzzing behind me. And Jeffrey was like, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
And then we just kind of climb out of the hole for the next 10 minutes.
That's how I took my kid to a Brazilian steakhouse in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that? So they bring around all the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They brought around chicken hearts.
What?
Oh, yeah, chicken hearts. They look like little olives.
Like a ritual sacrifice.
And so, of course, you know, my dad used to eat things all the time. So I was a kid, it was the greatest thing ever. My dad would eat grasshoppers.
Experimental.
He would eat grasshoppers.
Oh, my gosh.
Peel off their legs and stuff. But it was kind of like a novelty thing to get all the kids in the churchyard. We'd all come out and, Mike's going to eat another one. You know, we were very country, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, of course, as a kid, of course, I'd do everything my dad did. So I'd go and... I don't know how many grasshoppers I probably ate, Johnny. But it probably wasn't healthy. But, you know, he probably should have explained to
you
me.
You ate grasshoppers?
Well, I took their legs off, but I was a kid.
What does that help?
I was just doing what my dad did. I was brave. So, anyway, I like eating things. And Chris Sadie, she was like, I'm not eating that. So I ate a chicken heart. And I was like, and I said,
oh my
Sadie.
God. Did you absorb its power?
Now inside of me is the heart of a chicken.
Now I'm as strong as a full-grown man and a chicken, according to the legend.
It was pretty gross. It was pretty chewy. So I think I got into that left ventricle or something. I don't know.
My gosh.
Yeah. I don't really know chicken anatomy, but...
not very well at all. That's horrifying.
So for all of you listeners out there, try something new, a cricket, a chicken...
A lottery ticket?
Yeah.
Get out there and live.
It's been a day of new things for you.
Do it.
So will you be safe? We're going to head down to Dallas for a big conference and have a good time with some friends. Yeah. I wish you were going. We invited you, but you were going to be on the road.
I got to be somewhere else. I'm sorry.
It'd be fun. You've been with me there before several times.
Yeah, it's great. Love Watermark Church.
Watermark Church is awesome.
Good folks.
And we'll come back with a lot of exciting stories, I'm sure, and good times. We're taking 30 of our elders and deacons are going with us
this time.
And doing a lot of training on community, a lot of training on different things. Just a cool place to hang out and kind of dream together and those kinds of things. So it's a lot of fun. But hey, we do appreciate all the sharing going on out there,
all the content, the questions. Love it.
Hey, man,
Retweet it. Let your friends know
about it. Create your own larger following and then get people to follow us.
Yeah.
Like we're asking you to be the vehicle by which this goes to the nations.
This sounds like a cult.
It got a little weird.
It got creepy.
But you can always follow Johnny on Twitter or Facebook and myself as well. John_driver and Johnny_W. That's with a JONNIE. Mm-hmm. Do not confuse him with a conventional spelling of Johnny. He's not a conventional guy.
No.
So it won't work. But share it. And as of the time of this recording, Tennessee is in the Sweet 16. We have disciplined ourselves not.
I'm going to say that when this airs, we're going to be in the Final Four.
Johnny, it would be. Well,
yeah, because we got to get through the weekend.
Yeah. If we get through the weekend, we'll go through this in the Elite Eight.
We're in the Final Four.
If we're in the Final Four.
When this airs, we're in the Final Four.
You know what?
Or I'm somewhere, you know, with just, I don't know what I'll be.
We did almost.
Field position.
We almost lost after holding. We would have tied for the greatest blown lead. That led to a loss in NCAA history, week 25. But it's not going to happen again.
No way that happens again.
So here's the deal, though. If we are in the Final Four, you know what? Just remind me. I'm sending equipment with you on the road. Because if we're in the Final Four, we have
we
to
gotta
do a podcast next week.
Yeah, you're right.
While we're both traveling. And just do it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we find the internet service. So. But hey, you guys, say a prayer for the Vols.
Or for your favorite team that's also going to lose to the Vols.
Right. So anyway, hey guys, thank you always for listening, and we appreciate you being a part of what we do here on
Talk About That.
Hello, hello. Quenice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.